BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk. Today's program, well, ladies and gentlemen, it's a warning. It's a warning as to some of the matters that are afoot right now, as there is a group of secularists that are urging former Vice President Biden to pounce on U.S. Christianity. I'm going to get into more of that here in just a moment, but I do want to remind you what Scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We see also the warning that Paul wrote to the Colossians, in which he said, beware, this is chapter 2, verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Many of us familiar, of course, with the passage in Romans chapter 1 that talks about God giving them over to uncleanness, gave them up to uncleanness, and then gave them up to vile affections, and then gave them over to a reprobate mind. How did it start? As we go back up to the early verses, we see there in chapter 1, verse 21 of Romans, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, friends, what we're seeing today is many, many foolish hearts, but we're also seeing darkened hearts as well. The story came out last week on WND.com, and that was the headline, Secular Democrats Urge Biden to Pounce on U.S. Christianity. And I want you to understand what it is that is propelling this group to push Joe Biden, if he does take the presidency, and they're assuming that he has, as what they are pushing him to implement once he is in office. Now, we have heard from those groups like the Human Rights Campaign that has their agenda for him. We know the agenda of Planned Parenthood. But there's another agenda you need to hear about as well, because there is a group that has formed called the Secular Democrats of America. But first, the story from WND.com as it came out this past week. A Democratic Political Action Committee representing secular values issued a sweeping agenda for Joe Biden to reverse many of President Trump's advances for religious liberty and restore a vision of constitutional secularism. The Secular Democrats of America PAC and Representatives Jamie Raskin of Maryland and Jared Huffman of California, members of the Congressional Freethought Caucus, were behind a 28-page document which was issued last Monday. It would ban religious organizations from participating in government programs, support governors who want to close down churches amid the COVID pandemic, require new disclosures from churches, overturn religious rights precedences such as the Hobby Lobby case, prevent mention of creationism in education, and work for a de-radicalization of white Christian nationalism. That's in quotes. The document declares the rise of white Christian nationalism is a national security threat. It recommends to Biden that he encourage the Department of Homeland Security and Department of Justice to dedicate resources to de-radicalization programs aimed at hate groups, including but not limited to white nationalists, increase monitoring of such groups, including the online environment, and take action to address increased hate crimes toward minority faith communities and shift rhetoric to label violent white nationalist extremists as terrorists. The PAC wants to rid the nation entirely of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which was adopted in 1992 to protect religious expression and has been integral to several religious liberty victories in court. This was something that was passed under the Clinton administration. The document insists government funding should be non-sectarian, calling for a restoration, restoring secularism to the nation and protecting non-theist. Let me correct myself. It was not, I believe that was the Clinton administration at that particular time, 1992. It targets dozens of presidential executive orders for elimination, including those that promote free speech, provide for equal protection by faith organizations, encourage the strengthening of black colleges, allow employers to be exempt from Obamacare's abortion funding mandates based on their faith, protect health care providers from being forced to violate their faith, and protect the faith of federal program participants. So it's wanting to do away with all these issues, these faith and religious protection clauses, targeting many of the executive orders that President Donald Trump has given, to do away with them altogether. Now, friends, as I went through their document, I was shocked. I was amazed. I did not realize how many executive orders President Donald Trump has put into place that protect religious freedom. Oh, I know he was protecting religious freedom, and I saw different means in which he was doing so, but I did not know it was extensive as what is on this list. And so we have the Secular Democrats of America giving a 28-page report entitled Restoring Constitutional Secularism and Patriotic Pluralism in the White House. Now, I'm not quite sure why they use the word restore, because that is not how our nation was founded. Nonetheless, in their rewriting of history, I'd like to begin by reading the preamble to this document to help you understand where they're coming from and the pressures that they are putting upon Joe Biden, if indeed he does take the presidency of the and is inaugurated in the White House. Now, there's much going on that puts that into question, and many have stated that if he does go into the Oval Office, it will be because of a stolen election, not an actual vote count. Nonetheless, here is their pressure points being put upon Joe Biden. The preamble says this. The Secular Democrats of America PAC, SDA, has prepared this document for the Biden-Harris campaign to provide recommendations that will not only reverse the damage done by the Trump administration, but boldly restore a vision of constitutional secularism and respect in the land for religious and intellectual pluralism. We urge you to lead our nation on a path that revives the founders' vision of religious freedom in our government and promotes unifying patriotic pluralism, not dogmatic religious chauvinism in American society. We believe that there is a moment not only to enact policies to advance constitutional secularism, but to position the Democratic Party to take back the mantle of religious freedom and pluralism from the Republican Party. As people of private religious faith and public constitutional faith, President-elect Joe Biden, and again, I'm using their words, this is a direct quote, President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris can bridge the deep divisions that President Trump has exploited and exasperated over the past 4 years. Biden and Harris can bring millions of Americans of all faiths and millions of non-religious Americans together around a shared vision of government seeking the common good while defending religious pluralism and the unbridled freedom of conscience. We urge you not to underestimate the institutional strength of what we refer to interchangeably in this document as the Christian nationalist movement or the religious right. This movement is extraordinarily well-funded and well-organized, and the manifestation of its extreme and sectarian agenda is on constant display under the Trump-Pence administration. Its political ideology is an anti-democratic and anti-scientific. It provides constant cover for white supremacy, and it advances a reactionary economic policy, tax policy, and dominionist view of the environment that undermines our capacity and will to address the climate crisis. Its agenda rests on a pinched interpretation of biblical principles preached by Christian nationalist leadership and thought leaders. With their political agenda sanctioned by a higher power, their base of support is disciplined, motivated, and deeply committed to a vision that does not align with our basic constitutional values and democratic principles. We ask that you counter this movement's narrative by actively working to dismantle its grip on our government and counter its inaccurate and revisionist message around our nation's founding. It is no longer enough just to champion the rights of minorities and marginalized communities or to promote inclusion and equality. We urge you to champion America's original constitutional secularism and the separation of church and state as core governing principles that protect religious freedom for people of all faiths and none at all. We implore you to help educate the American public by reasonably defining what religious freedom really means, that every American has a right to practice his or her religion without interference, but no religious group can impose religious dogma or orthodoxy on other citizens and other faiths and belief systems. Americans of all spiritual faiths and of secular beliefs must recognize that the founding constitutional principles of religious free exercise and no establishment of religion are intertwined and stand best when they stand together. The constant entanglement of religion and government, promoted by the religious right and intensified by the Trump administration, sweeps far beyond hot-button culture war issues like abortion and contraception. It permeates every aspect of government policy, healthcare, public and private education, foreign policy, tax policy, environmental policy, military policy, and more, all of which will be addressed in this document. Policy decisions that should be guided by science and evidence on matters ranging from climate change to comprehensive sex education to federal funding for stem cell research have been skewed or blocked entirely by powerful religious interest groups and further undermined at every turn by the Trump administration. There is no example more grave than this administration's lethal mishandling of the COVID-19 global pandemic, which has brought death to hundreds of thousands of Americans. They assert this: disregard for science and disdain for expertise have reached an all-time high in this administration of magical thinkers and conspiracy theorists, but these policy distortions did not begin with the Trump administration and will not end without deliberate action to restore rational, scientific, and pragmatic policy methods and judgment. We believe that now is the right time to make the case for a reviving a Jeffersonian approach to governance that favors reason, science, and evidence, and to disentangle government policy from the influence of sectarian religious interests. They have become dangerously entrenched at all levels of government. The remainder of this document will focus on four major areas that are critical to secularists and the non-religious community. The first three are areas where we believe President Trump has violated basic constitutional principles and elevated religious privilege over the Bill of Rights and the common good. The fourth area of focus is protecting the rights and dignity of non-theistic Americans and non-Christian religious minorities, like most Americans, care deeply about and contribute immensely to their country. And like all Americans, they deserve to be fairly recognized and respected. For far too long, the religious right has scapegoated non-believers, falsely stating that non-believers believe in no public morality, while at the same time framing advocacy for our original secular values, science, pluralism, the rule of law, the right to dissent, as an attempt to impose our beliefs on society. When our community is attacked, we ask you to stand with us, just as President Barack Obama stood with us on a number of occasions when he made history by mentioning non-believers positively in his public remarks and going out of his way to include non-believers in the Democratic community. We are optimistic that under your leadership, it will no longer be a momentous and historic occasion when non-theists are acknowledged and treated with equal respect with our brothers and sisters of faith. According to Gallup, the most mistrusted religious minorities in the U.S. are atheists and Muslims. Acknowledging the rights and dignities of these communities would have a bottom-up effect. We hope that you share our belief that government secularism is a core constitutional principle indistinguishable from religious freedom. We believe that there can never be religious freedom in the United States without the separation of church and state, and that constitutional secularism allows pluralism to thrive in our nation. Thank you for your consideration and for your leadership. We stand ready to provide support and additional information. This is the preamble from a document from Secular Democrats of America about restoring secularism in the United States. More on this after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, Creation Seminar speaker at the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, can one believe in God and evolution at the same time?
Chris, many people do believe in God and in evolution by natural selection, but I don't think they should. The very reason evolution exists is to try to explain the fact that we're here without a God. It's a totally natural theory as opposed to supernatural. Recently, I heard from a Christian in Russia. He acknowledges that evolution was used as a tool by the communist government for all those years to discredit Christianity and the Bible. Today, there are many Christians in Russia, but it would be very rare to find a Christian who believes in evolution. Those who have gone through the communist ordeal have recognized that evolution and Christianity are incompatible. I wish American Christians would see that back to Genesis truth so clearly.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today is the march toward secularism as secular Democrats have put together a document 28 pages long. It's called Secular Democrats of America, Restoring Constitutional Secularism and Patriotic Pluralism in the White House. This was prepared especially for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris for the transition team and being promoted by a number of individuals from Congress to promote secularism in our society. Now, in that first section here, I read you the preamble to their document. I'm going to summarize in some places and pull together some other information so that you are aware of what the plan is from this group for the United States of America and the pressures that are being placed upon a Biden-Harris team if indeed they take the White House if they're inaugurated here coming up during the month of January. In the first section, they talk about government funding, evidence-based, non-sectarian, and non-discriminatory. They indicate this: a secular government governs on the basis of reason, science, and evidence. Science was on the ballot in 2020 because this administration's dangerous disdain for expertise, shocking denial of facts it dislikes for ideological reasons, and naked interference in what should be nonpartisan scientific inquiry have cost more than 260,000 American lives. Let me just interject an editorial comment there. Wrong. Additionally, taxpayer dollars should not be funneled either to contractors or grantees that discriminate on the basis of religion or to programs that promote a sectarian agenda, such as private religious schools, crisis pregnancy centers, and abstinence-only sex education. The federal government has an obligation to exercise good stewardship of taxpayer dollars. Therefore, it should not do business with organizations or contractors that will use government funds to advance a sectarian agenda or discriminate against its employees program beneficiaries on the basis of religion. Utilize every mechanism at the administration's disposal to ensure that the Department of Education does not funnel taxpayer dollars to private schools. Any private schools receiving taxpayer funding, whether directly or indirectly, should be held to the same non-discrimination and accommodation requirements of public schools and expected to meet curriculum standards for secular subjects, including science and history. And let me just say again, that is as they interpret it. All rules, regulations, memorandum, and other actions regarding federally administered health care programs that sanction denial of care on the basis of religion must be repealed. Reverse all executive orders, rules, and memorandum and other actions that exempt faith-based organizations contracting with the federal government from non-discrimination requirements that apply to secular organizations, including employment discrimination. Dismantle the Department of Justice Religious Liberty Task Force. Now, friends, that one line alone, and then they also have to dismantle the HHS Conscience and Religious Freedom Division and also repeal Executive Order 13798 promoting free speech and religious liberty. Rescind and replace the Department of Justice memorandum, Federal Law Protections for Religious Liberty. One line they have there, and I looked up that document, folks, and this document itself, giving religious liberty protections, is multiple pages long, many pages long, that was prepared by former Attorney General Jeff Sessions, in which he, through this memorandum, recognized through the U.S. government, the freedom of religion is a fundamental right of paramount importance expressly protected by federal law. They are saying, strike this. The secularist group is saying, strike this entire document. What does that document stand for? The freedom of religion is a fundamental right of paramount importance expressly forbidden by federal law. What else will they strike? The free exercise of religion includes the right to act or abstain from action in accordance with one's religious beliefs. They don't want that in here. The freedom of religion extends to persons and organizations. They don't want that kind of religious liberty to be granted. Americans do not, or to be recognized, I should say. Americans do not give up their freedom of religion by participating in the marketplace, partaking in the public square, interacting with government. Government may not target religious individuals or entities through discriminatory enforcement of neutral, generally applicable laws. They want to strike this one as well. Government may not interfere with the autonomy of a religious organization. They want the government to be able to interfere in affairs of religion. Also, RFRA's protection extends not just to individuals, but also to organizations, associations, and for some for-profit organizations, they want that struck. What else do they want struck? Religious employers are entitled to employ only a person whose beliefs and conduct are consistent with the employer's religious precepts. Folks, this will impact every single church across this nation. That will impact every single Christian ministry across this nation, including Christian broadcasting and Christian colleges and universities and Christian schools and Christian daycare centers, and the list goes on, crisis pregnancy centers, on and on it goes. They want to repeal that you would not be able to only employ those whose beliefs and conduct are consistent with the religious precepts of the employer. As a general matter, the federal government may not condition a receipt of federal grant or contract the effective relinquishment of a religious organization's hiring exemptions or attributes of its religious character. This entire document they want to have repealed. It was put into place under President Trump's executive order. It was drafted by former Attorney General Jeff Sessions that puts down into verbiage a federal law protections for religious liberty. They want this document rescinded. They want it banned, and they're pressuring a Biden-Harris team to do just that. Further, they want to work with Congress to incentivize states to increase their vaccination rates. Folks, this is all-encompassing. To increase vaccination rates by repealing all non-medical exemptions to mandatory vaccination for children in schools and daycare centers. Those of you that live in states that have religious exemptions, they'd be out the window. Those of you that live in states that have conscience protection provisions, that would be out the window. They want all repealed, and they're putting pressure upon a Biden-Harris team to do just that. What else? Reverse the Trump administration policies that have allowed faith-based government-funded contractors to provide adoption and foster care services to discriminate on the basis of religion, and work with Congress to pass the Every Child Deserves a Family Act. You know, I thank the Lord for those agencies and adoption agencies that have religious policies in place there are so many adoptive families, but they would not go to those that espouse views that are in opposition to the adoption agency. They have plenty to work with in that regard. What else do they want to do? Fully and robustly fund comprehensive, medically accurate, and I put that in quotes, sex education. In past administrations, SBA policy held that businesses principally engaged in teaching, instructing, counseling, or indoctrinating religion or religious beliefs, whether in a religious or secular setting, were not eligible for receiving business or economic disaster loans. As a result, millions of federal dollars from the Paycheck Protection Program, PPP, have funded explicitly religious activities, including paying clergy salaries, rent, and utilities. Given that houses of worship are exempt from requirements that apply to all other 501c3 organizations, including filing the Form 990, this funding amounts to a taxpayer-funded giveaway to sectarian interest of which the government has no means to conduct oversight, and the recipients are not held accountable to American taxpayers. Their Section 2 in this report deals with restoring constitutional secularism. Where do you find that in the Constitution? We strongly recommend coordinating closely with the Congressional Freethought Caucus on issues in Congress affecting religious freedom, separation of church and state, and scientific integrity. This will be the first Democratic administration that will have the opportunity to partner with a congressional caucus committed and focused specifically on these issues. Did you know that there is a congressional caucus that has been put together for secularism? They refer to it on page 26. I've gone to that page. It is co-chaired. Founding members include Representative Jared Hoffman and Jamie Raskin. Another founding member is Representative Dan Kildee, Representative Jerry McNerney. There's Representative Don Beyer, Sean Kasten, Steve Cohen, Pramila Jayapal, Hank Johnson, Zoe Lofgren. There's Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton, Congressman Mark Pocan, Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, and Representative Susan Wild. These are members of the Congressional Freethought Caucus membership that have their names on this document, again, to pressure a Biden-Harris ticket to promote these ideas of secularism. The mission of the caucus is to promote public policy formed on the basis of reason, science, and moral values, to protect the secular character of our government by adhering to the strict constitutional principle of the separation of church and state, to oppose discrimination against atheists, agnostics, humanists, seekers, religious and non-religious persons, and to champion the value of freedom and thought and conscience worldwide, and provide a forum for members of Congress to discuss their moral frameworks, ethical values, and personal religious journey. They want to ensure that all scientific reports and findings that have been suppressed or buried by the Trump administration, particularly those related to the climate crisis, are published and made publicly available, to reverse all sectarian-based restrictions of federally funded fetal tissue and stem cell research, and ensure that allocations of funding are informed by the national interest, not dictated by religion or pseudoscience. Friends, when you look at what health benefits have come from embryonic stem cell research? Stem cell facts say none. They also want to restore what they call constitutional secularism, work with the Attorney General to reverse the former Attorney General Jeff Sessions' memorandum on federal law protections and religious liberty. In its place, issue a memorandum instructing all executive agencies to interpret religious freedom in such a way that protects the separation of religion and government, prohibits discrimination on the basis of religion, and prohibits government funding of explicitly religious activities. They also want the rescinding of Presidential Proclamation 9645, a proclamation enhancing vetting capabilities and processes for detecting attempted entry into the U.S. states by terrorists or other publicly safety threats. They're calling it the Muslim ban. That they say the Trump administration's actions were a thinly veiled exclusion motivated by religious bias and discrimination. The United States government should never apply religious tests for entering our country. Appoint an attorney general to the Department of Justice who will support governors who emergency declarations and or executive orders require even-handed universal restrictions on indoor gatherings, including at houses of worship, to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. The Department of Justice must ensure that these orders are enforced without discrimination or preference, and that houses of worship are treated the same as similarly organizations and activities. Issue guidance that clarifies the duty and obligation of government officials to separate their personal religious beliefs from their work. We must establish a new standard for appropriate constitutional conduct by all public officials, whether a county clerk like Kim Davis or a U.S. cabinet office like Secretary Mike Pompeo, which puts the Constitution and rights of taxpayer citizens first and ensures that public officials never use their positions and offices to discriminate, proselytize, or promote religious dogma. And they go on saying, should the Office of Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships be reestablished, ensure that engages advisors from the full spectrum of the interfaith community, including the non-religious, include humanist and other non-theistic communities and organizations as eligible for any faith-based community grants made available is required to include the secular community in any faith interfaith programming. Folks, we're giving a warning today here on Crosstalk. A warning about a secular Democrats of America caucus that has formed and has issued a 28-page document to a Biden-Harris potential administration and laying out their goals, their objectives, their ideals for our nation. We'll be back in a minute.
High in the Swiss Alps, Lucian, a lonely, frightened 13-year-old, is overtaken by catastrophic events as he causes little Danny to fall off of a cliff. Lucian finds himself an outcast with his family, his school friends, and especially the very hostile Annette, the sister of Danny.
Danny, I've told you not to talk to Lucian. He'll only hurt you again.
Bitterness and anger set in. As Lucian finds solitude in the nearby woods, he comes across a woodcarver who helps him find the peace he was looking for, that not only changes his life, but that of others as well.
You may be able to run away from the village, but you can't run away from yourself.
Treasures of the Snow quickly captures the heart. It's a story of friendship, forgiveness, and redemption. Treasures of the Snow is available on DVD for a donation of $16 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. As I mentioned at the outset of the program, it's a warning today. And it was sparked by a story that we saw entitled Secular Democrats Urge Biden to Pounce on U.S. Christianity. And a pouncing it is. As we located the document that had been established here, Secular Democrats of America, Restoring Constitutional Secularism and Patriotic Pluralism in the White House, a 28-page document calling upon a potential Biden-Harris ticket to totally reverse close to, it's somewhere about 50 executive orders or directives that came out from President Donald Trump to protect religious liberty at home and abroad in our dealings, and to totally rescind these and to put in, they use the word restore, but I say rewrite our history by putting in what they call constitutional secularism. Study the faith of the founding fathers. We just did a program here recently with Dr. Catherine Millard just a week ago here on Thomas Jefferson himself. And yet the tenets that they're putting forth here is to reverse all of this and instead put in a secular society. Folks, do they understand what it is they're asking for to be? I mean, we have seen the impact of a secular society. Yeah, they had a showdown on Mount Carmel with a man named Elijah. Here's some further actions. And again, I want you to be forewarned as to what is coming down the pike here. Instruct the Internal Revenue Service to enforce the Johnson Amendment as the law and one component of the broader set of campaign finance measures that we need to strengthen the institutions that Trump has weakened. While the Religious Freedom Restoration Act was intended as a shield for religious practice, it has become a sword to impose religious-based prejudice. Ensure that Religious Freedom Day proclamations highlight the importance of the Establishment Clause and why it's a critical component of the First Amendment that creates conditions for religious pluralists to thrive. We recommend using the proclamation and any accompanying White House ceremony as an opportunity to educate Americans about our nation's proud history as a secular nation, and to ensure that if clergy are invited to participate in a ceremony or public event, to invite representatives of the non-religious community as well. Instruct the Department of Education to be responsive to religious freedom complaints and update the current guidelines to clarify the constitutional boundaries of religious expression in public schools. Suggest the Attorney General confer with the Department of Office of Legal Counsel to issue a memorandum regarding enforcement of the Establishment Clause in public schools, including students' protection from school-sponsored proselytizing and teaching accurate evidence-based secular curricula rather than creationism in the schools. Section 3 is dealing with religious freedom abroad. To appoint a non-religious representative to the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom. to please ensure that atheist asylum cases offer often individuals who are the targets of persecution through blasphemy, apostasy, and heresy laws are given special consideration as a persecuted group. Section 4 deals with patriotism, pluralism, and sincere inclusion, protecting the rights and duties of non-atheists. They write, "For far too long, the non-religious have been stigmatized, marginalized, and scapegoated. The Obama administration took historic steps to include our community. However, there is much more that can be done to truly and sincerely include our constituency." Their first section is called Reframing Patriotism. Listen to this. Disentangle the conflation of faith and patriotism. In public statements, avoid phrases like God and country, and any implication that service members as a whole are guided by faith. Don't use those terms, guided by faith. With the rise of Christian nationalism, there's an urgent need to reframe public discourse surrounding patriotism. Dissent and peaceful protest, even if it's kneeling during the national anthem or refusing to say the Pledge of Allegiance, is a constitutionally protected right that our service members have fought and died for. Think about that. Instruct the Department of Defense to ensure that humanist and non-theist chaplains serve in each branch of the military. Strengthen protections for the rights of service members who are religious minorities and non-religious, including freedom from proselytization. Institute pluralistic teaching requirements for chaplains across all military branches and ensure that non-religious service members are provided full, equal pastoral care that acknowledges and welcomes their non-religious worldview, and ensure that the chaplaincy is broadly representative of the American population from which our service members are drawn. Inclusion of non-theists at all interfaith ceremonies in which clergy are invited, include non-religious representatives. When listing faith in public remarks or talking about religious pluralism, always include non-religious people. Phrases like all faiths and none, religious and non-religious, believers and non-believers, atheists, agnostics and humanists, or secular Americans all work. Recognize that non-religious Americans celebrate their own holidays and traditions just like people of faith. When responding to a national crisis and tragedy, the president plays a critical role as healer in chief by demonstrating moral leadership, providing comfort, and bringing the nation together in these moments. It's critical to keep in mind the millions of Americans who do not pray or subscribe to religious faith must feel included in the president's message to the nation. Prayer or scriptural references must be accompanied by an acknowledgement of the non-religious who have just as much a need to heal and feel part of the greater good as everyone else. Avoid naming programs, initiatives, or government titles as faith, like faith director, faith engagement, etc. The term interfaith is much more inclusive and always more preferred than faith, as non-theists often participate in interfaith efforts. However, the most inclusive term to use is conscience, so a conscience coalition, rather than use a faith coalition or interfaith coalition. The current motto, "In God We Trust," is a relic of the McCarthyism and the anti-atheist hysteria of the 1950s and has been invoked by Christian nationalists to reinforce their historically revisionist narrative of our nation's founding. They characterize the United States founding as a Christian nation based in biblical principles rather than as a secularist nation based on revolutionary democratic ideas. We urge you to avoid invoking the phrase Judeo-Christian values. It has been weaponized by the religious right to advance an agenda that has the veneer of inclusivity but actually undermines religious freedom and tolerance and does not represent tens of millions of Americans implicitly excluded from its formation. And then they have an appendix that goes for page after page after page. And they say, while this is not an exhaustive list, we stand ready to work with you to identify additional opportunities to reverse the damage done to religious freedom by the Trump administration and identify strategies to build upon the Obama-Biden administration legacy to implement strong protections for constitutional secularism. And they go through in this appendix and listing some White House executive orders and directions from the Trump administration. It's approximately 50 that they list here. They say it's not exhaustive, but it gives you an idea of what they're seeking to eradicate from our society, such things as a Mexico City policy, such as the protections and regarding Title IX and other titles as well. They don't want exemptions for Christian colleges. They don't want exemptions for schools that don't want those who are seeking to give a persona of being transgender, which one cannot be. You're either male or female. That's what Scripture says, and it's truth. That sounds science. But they want to ensure that boys who identify as girls have access to girls' restrooms, locker rooms, showers, field trips, sports teams, on and on it goes. And I can see time is not going to permit me to go through these, but they are targeting crisis pregnancy centers. They're targeting adoption centers as well that are faith-based in this regard. On and on it goes. And friends, again, it is a warning as to the secularism agenda that is being promoted by this caucus group now upon this potential Biden-Harris administration. I'd like to open our phone lines here today on Crosstalk to get your reaction to this. Because, friends, when these things get instituted down the road, don't ask where did this come from. We're making you aware today. This was just released last week. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. As secular Democrats are urging Biden to pounce on U.S. Christianity. The sweeping agenda, it calls In God We Trust a relic of McCarthyism. What's your response to that today? Again, as Colossians says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. That's what we're seeing take place. Let's go to the phone lines. We're going to begin with Joe in Phoenix. Joe, you're on the air.
Hey, first I'd like to thank you for serving your Christian brethren and bringing this information to light. Very useful. I think that you know, this is, although alarming, it's expected of people who are ignorant and blind and unspiritual. But for the grace of God, we would be in the same situation. So
yes.
Not a situation to look down on them, but rather pray for them. I like your suggestions as to how we can unify, similarly to what the Democratic group unified, you mentioned the documentation about the stem cell research. I'd like to. Can you give us some resources where it's documented that there is no benefit to the stem cell research as they claim? Thank you.
Thank you for the call here today, and I sure do appreciate your call here, Joe from Phoenix. And yeah, several things. Number one, one of the guests that we often have had on Crosstalk is Matt Staver from Liberty Council, and is getting behind groups like this that are fighting indeed for the constitutional principles by which upon which it was founded, and so the free exercise of religion is very much a part of that, and so it is getting behind organizations like this. It's staying informed on these things, and it's staying involved in the voting process. And right now, I mean, we've got such a great disparity taking place in lawsuits all over in multiple states regarding what appears to be the stealing of an election from all means, and experts that have testified in many lawsuits that are going on. But certainly staying engaged in these matters, informing. You're voting on a local level, your district attorney's races, those who are serving on your school boards, and all levels of government as well. But I'm looking for I'm trying to hunt on the internet as well. Dr. David Prentice has been on this Crosstalk program before, and I'll try and look up the exact site that they have where they give the scorecard as it relates to stem cell research, and it's very beneficial. But we'll continue to search for that. But if you do a search on Dr. David Prentice stem cell research, I'm sure you're going to find it there as well. Let's go next to Lori in Michigan. Lori, you're on the air.
Hi. It was interesting you mentioned Elijah, and I was just sitting there thinking how powerful the prayer was that he prayed at Mount Carmel. And Leonard, you have the book over there at VCY, I think, Why Revival Tarries. And he just mentions that here he's up against, like you said, the secularists of the day, which, you know, the false prophets. And he does, and Ravenhill says he doesn't actually pray fire from heaven on them, but what he does is he says, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again." And what it does is He's praying for the glory of God and the power, that the power of God would be revealed. And I really think that on our knees, there's so much power. And I really think this is a huge issue for prayer, that we need to be on our faces before God today.
Indeed.
And we can't just pretend that this is a light thing, because you're reading some very serious situations that we could be headed into. And we need to get on our faces before God in earnest prayer, as Elijah did.
Amen. Thank you, Lori, for the call from Michigan. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. The other night, we broke on our live national television show the story of Mary Fanning and Alan Jones. They are national security authors and researchers, and they're reporting from firsthand knowledge that Fox News knew about the Hammer and Scorecard software that could be used to steal an election. Well, reportedly, Fox News knew about this as far back as 2013. They report that Carl Cameron actually went and traveled and met with the man who wrote the software, Dennis Montgomery, spent a week with a film crew filming his computer as he demonstrated how an election could be stolen. Why has Fox News said on this since 2013, according to their report? Does this help us understand why Fox News flipped on the night of the election? Or did they just publicly flip? Maybe they flipped a long time ago. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House.
To the caller who phoned in earlier here, too, you can go to sites like lifeissues.org. Brad Mattis from Life Issues Institute has been with us. They've got information there pertaining to the stem cells. Stemcellresearchfacts.org is well coming out from the Charlotte Lozier Institute. That's stemcellresearchfacts.org is another great one to look at as well. Let's go next to Veronica calling in from Pensacola, Florida. You're on the air.
Okay, I want to know, why aren't they investigating these people? Are they communists? I mean, this is the way it smells of communism to me. And I don't know why. I'm 87 years old, and I went through the McCarthy era, and I don't know why they don't bring it back. I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. I pray all the time, and I'm praying that this thing will not come to pass, whatever it is they're trying to do.
Thank you for the call. Actually, these are congressmen. These are people that are representing in Congress right now, and they have formed a caucus together to apply pressure to a Biden administration, really to pounce on U.S. Christianity.
Yes, I know, but it smells of communism to me, and these people should be investigated. I don't care if they're at the White House or anything else. They're not exempt from that. I think somebody should check it all out.
Thank you for the call.
I constantly pray all the time for all this stuff that's going on. I'm just appalled what's happening. It breaks my heart. I'm raising great grandkids and great-grandkids, and I've got my children. I have three of them that are believing like the way Biden does, and my daughter and the other way, we believe the way God does.
Hmm.
You know, and it's hard because it's separating people, families.
Yeah. Thank you, Veronica, for the call. Tim is next in Tennessee. You're on the air, Tim.
Hey.
Hello. Hi.
Okay. I wanted to make sure I had you. I'm a little bit upset about this. They want to pounce on Christians. Okay. Now, my problem is this, okay? I'm from the country, and it's okay. I've turned the other cheek more than once concerning this stuff, but I can turn my cheek about this. They're talking about, this injection from the COVID thing has a DNA from babies in it. No, this is wrong. I don't exactly know what to do. I'm frustrated. Really, I don't exactly know what to do. I'm not going to do anything ignorant, but if there's anything I can do, if you can give me any advice of what I could do to push back against this, I'd appreciate the advice.
Well, thank you, Tim. And as I shared earlier, it's getting behind some of these organizations that are sounding the alarm, that are fighting against these things, such as Liberty Council, such as Life Issues Institute, that is partnering with other organizations as well in this regard, standing up for religious freedom and integrity and propelling people into office. But it really starts on your knees in prayer to God for this nation. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The scripture tells us when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. So it starts on our knees for this nation, personal repentance on part of our churches, and living that life, being salt and light in this world in need. Thank you so much for your call. Mesa, Arizona, Gary, you're on the air.
Yeah, I've heard all of this verbal ledger domain since I was in the eighth grade in 1958. This is just part of, this sounds like a communist manifesto.
Yeah, it does.
What they're saying about, while they're talking about equality, they're talking about at the same time doing away with religious services in this nation and doing away with the religious protection that the First Amendment provides. Yeah. Besides that, nobody's prevented from being a secularist, if that's what you want to be. Mm-hmm. I don't attack you, don't attack me.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you for the comments here. And again, folks, I want to stress one of the goals, and we saw it pass by the House of Representatives, was the so-called Equality Act. That is a goal in this next couple of months. If there is a changeover that takes place in the United States Senate, if there is a changeover that takes place in the White House, Joe Biden it's his goal within the first 100 days to have passed the Equality Act. There is a line, and I looked at this Equality Act just an hour or so before the program, that indicates that the Religious Freedom Restoration Act does not apply. This would impose itself upon every church, upon every Christian organization and ministry in the United States of America, that would force an LGBTQ plus agenda upon all of these institutions, organizations, Christian schools, adoption agencies, Christian shelters for rescue missions, et cetera, would impose all the tenets of the Equality Act upon these organizations. Do you understand where this is going? Glasgow, Kentucky, Eddie, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim, for taking my call, and thank you for your tremendous radio program. I realized for a long time that secular humanism has been trying to undermine our great Christian country, and I hope they're never able to do that. I just got two quick comments. I'll throw them at you guys. That's one of them. The other one is, have you heard anything about the Edison research concerning the data collected on the Dominion voting machines? I just found out about it today, and I just wanted to ask you.
I'm not. Thank you, Eddie. And I'm not dealing with the voting issue here today, or Dominion, etc. Forgive me for that. This issue is what we're focusing on, and it's so imperative. I'm spending the entire program on it. Merle in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim. June 28, 2006. Barack Obama, in a speech, said, "Whatever we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation." Mm. Can't forget that. Yeah. About every other day now, Obama comes out.
Oh, yeah, we're losing you here, Merle. Yeah, okay, we got bad connection there. Thank you. We did get that quote, though. Let's pick up. Looks like it will be our final call today. Naomi in Preston, Minnesota, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to respond to the callers who were asking what we could do. I totally agree with you, Jim, and another caller saying we need to pray. I think we can also be writing to our governors, elected officials such as senators and representatives right here, and also informing people, because there are a ton of people who just do not know anything about this right now.
Right.
So just inform your friends, your family. They might not agree with you. Inform them anyways.
Great. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. And indeed, when we talk about this, just released this past week, Secular Democrats of America. And this is prepared exclusively by them, by their Political Action Committee, but Secular Democrats of America PAC, for President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris transition team. And it is tenets that they are there, that they are putting upon them to see them implement. Again, I'm putting in the caveat, should they indeed take office. Well, friends, these are before us here, but let's stay on our knees in prayer for this. Some trust in horses, some in chariots, but we're going to remember the name of the Lord, our God. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.